Om Shanti, and good evening to everyone. We have the great fortune of having with us this evening Dr. Avdesh Sharma, who is a psychiatrist, and Dr. Sujata Sharma, who is a consultant clinical psychologist. The beauty of this team is that they work together. They have a clinic in Delhi, but not only that, they have worked with many television programs. Dr. Avdesh Sharma has anchored those programs, and Sujata Sharma has written the scripts for those programs. They have had a very profound interest in the impact of meditation on mental health. And I'm sure that each and everyone here has encountered more and more souls who are struggling with unstable minds, and certainly we need to understand that as well. So this very experienced couple who have attended over 1,000 forums in India and in 20 foreign countries are going to share with us their wisdom, how they have combined spirituality and mental health. Welcome, Dr. Sharma.
Om Shanti. Om Shanti. And as Dadi Janki would ask you for the third time, Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Of course, I'm sure all of you know the secret meaning of this word, which is Om means me, the consciousness, and Shanti means peace. And peace as in silence within myself. So me, the peaceful being, in an atmosphere of peace, connect with you, the peaceful being, to create an atmosphere of peace, to attain and to spread peacefulness. So it's not a word or a greeting. It's a disposition that we announce every time that we say Om Shanti. Is this speed okay as far as the translators are concerned? All right. You know, we're going to share some of the insights, I would say, of our journey, and in that journey connecting with many of the professionals who are working with similar aims. It's exactly 25 years that I came here for the first time. And when I came here, of course, this place was just being built. Pandav Bhavan used to be there. And it used to be, at that point of time, it was a 7-day international retreat for which I was called. I still can't understand why I was called for an international retreat. But as each one of you would have a story of your own, in those 5 days, some very profound changes started happening in my consciousness. I had feelings of being disconnected in a very pleasant way with my body. Feelings of precognition, being able to connect with your future, being able to connect with another person without speaking, and an intense sense of well-being, euphoria, etc., etc. And I used to drink before that, drink alcohol, occasionally, socially. And when I went back from here, after 5 days, and it so happened that the same evening there was a party, and I touched the beer and took a sip and started vomiting. Those 5 days had created a permanent change in the psyche of my mind. And since then I can't smell alcohol. If there is, I start having a headache. I shared this only for one reason, that unless each one of us experiences spirituality in our own way and finds value and meaning to it, these are mere words. But when it becomes a part and parcel of my day-to-day living, my experiencing the world and my connecting with others, then it becomes practical spirituality which I can keep on touching within myself. And from that time, now we look back and understand that like each one of you who has a special role to play, and that's why you are here. You haven't traveled all the way to this place in India just for a holiday. It is a physical holiday, but more than that, it is touching with yourself in a special atmosphere. And how you yourself and people around you would be able to benefit is something that will unfold slowly. Of course, you all know we call it drama. It's like a movie in which we are playing a part, and it keeps on unfolding, and when it unfolds, the next scene comes and you are able to connect with that. We thought we'll talk about spirituality and mental health, which we would, but we'll also talk about how some of the principles that we apply here on a day-to-day basis based on the knowledge and then the connection with the Supreme helps us to bring about a personal transformation. So the technology of transformation, if we are able to tap, then wherever you are able to connect. And then you become living embodiments for others around you who can then seek either your support or learn from your experience. So coming to the interface of spirituality and mental health. You know, it's a very peaceful world here. But that's not the reality when you step out of this place. Any part of the world, the peacelessness that we feel could be within me, or I can experience it outside in the place that I live in. And that happens in the best places, so-called best places, most developed in terms of material gains in the world. The figures are astonishing. 1 in 4 people have a diagnosable mental illness. These are WHO statistics. Which means, on an average, 1 person in each family. And 1 person in 4, at any point of time in their life, will experience an episode of depression. In 2025, WHO felt that depression will overtake heart diseases to be the number one killer and number one illness in terms of illnesses, in terms of man days lost, in terms of trauma to the person and the family from heart disease. Today, heart disease is number one. The bad news is, it's not going to happen in 2025. It's probably going to happen next year. So the number of people who need, and that can be any one of us. Another thing I want to emphasize, whether you are on the path of spirituality, whether you are a mental health professional or a health professional, any one of us can have internal strife. How we respond to it makes the difference between what we have learnt to be spiritual or not learnt. And this is not including addictions. This is not including stress-related disorders. This is not including what is called as psychosomatic illnesses, where a physical illness like diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, etc., makes us become stressed or stress causes these illnesses. So there is a huge problem out there. But we have also learned that certain practices, which may be culture specific, which means that you as a group or within the community that you live in, if you follow certain practices, you can learn to help yourself and become much, much more empowered to deal with your own mental health. Again, this is something WHO is saying, not Brahma Kumaris. I happen to be a part of an international group which is called the World Psychiatric Association, which is the largest conglomerate of all the psychiatrists in the world, about 225,000 psychiatrists from about 128 countries. And we have a group which is called Religion and Spirituality in Psychiatry. Sister Pratibha was very kind to help us in South Africa, where we had the last conference. And out of one of the four mainstream, one of the biggest stream was spirituality and mental health. Out of 108 symposiums, 34 were on spirituality and mental health. We had a full day roundtable discussion on how we can learn from spiritualists and how the spiritualists can take the help of mental health professionals. This is just to underline the fact that the world out there is realizing that just medication or just therapy is not enough for us to feel better. There is something more, and that more is actually at the level of consciousness. How many of you here, and I know it's a very unfair question to ask, but I'm going to still ask it. How many here believe that there is something called a soul? I know it's an unfair question, but I want a show of hands, please. Okay? There are a few who have not, but that's okay. So, large number. How many of you have a body? Everyone. And how many of you have a mind? Okay? So, we all have a soul, we all have a body, and we all have a mind. But what is the interconnection? And actually that will decide where I put my focus. if my car is damaged, do I just look after the body of the car, or I look after the engine, or I also look after the person who's driving it and probably causing the accidents? Most of us have been taught to only look after the body, because you can't see the soul. But we all understand that if you let the soul aside and you focus only on the body, you may be able to help people to a certain extent, but the problems keep coming back. And that's true even as at the level of physical health. So if you have to make a permanent change, you will have to go at the level of the consciousness, which then can create a better body. Let me help you to understand it a little further. Your doctor will not tell you this, because your doctor has not been taught this. What I'm sharing with you is a kind of a new science which is evolving. That science has a lot of grounding in medical facts, but at this point of time, medical science is mostly is focused on the mechanical part. What I can see, what I can manipulate, medicine, surgery, etc., etc. What we are realizing is that the soul creates the body. Now that's an evolutionary and revolutionary thinking. The body keeps changing, but the soul requires to be changed in consciousness. Unless I work on myself, the same consciousness remains, and the same consciousness keeps on creating the same damaged body. If I shift my consciousness and make it more powerful, then the body that I will create will also be much more powerful in terms of being able to fight diseases and in terms of being healthy. The time is short, so I'm not going to go into the details here, but the fact is that every day what I eat, every day what I breathe, creates my body. And if I keep on making right choices, and more importantly, if I make the right choices of my thoughts and my emotions and my interactions, I will create a body which will be in harmony with myself and the people around me. And what we are also realizing is that you could be diseased at the level of the body, but you can be at ease at the level of the consciousness. Ardadis are living examples. And many of us, I'll share an experience about 8 weeks back. I had a sudden chest pain. I knew as a doctor that I'm having a heart problem. So I went to the emergency room, and whatever procedures were there, it happened, and I knew that I'm having a block. This is after South Africa, a month after we came. And actually we were thinking that we did so much of running around in South Africa, we did so many programs, all was fine, but it happened. And at that point of time, the first reaction is fear. Because you are now at a level where something could happen to you, something serious, something dangerous. But somehow or the other, and Sujata was with me, and we were extremely calm. So I was having the angiography and then the angioplasty, and I had the screen of the television where they were doing the procedure, and I was actually participating in the procedure. At one point of time, I even told the doctor which kind of stent we should be using, etc., etc. So we could be having a physical disturbance, but you could be mentally stable. And I know, having interacted with a lot of Brahmins, that despite being in difficult situations, you can be stable, you can step back. And subsequently, even if you have a physical disease, you could be mentally healthy. So at this point of time, organizations, especially health organizations, are looking for ways by which we can bring in this dimension of health. Incidentally, World Health Organization gives us the mandate about well-being, and not only in physical, and actually not only in mental, but in social and spiritual realms. That's there. It's for us to rediscover it, and I'm saying rediscover it because it is there in most of the scriptures. What we are talking about is just a newer interpretation in today's context of how we can apply those principles. And very quickly, I'm going to share some, and then Sujata will talk about what works for people in clinical settings. One is, there's a Hindi word which is called upram. And upram means just stepping back and then going up. So for a little while, you just disconnect and you rise above that situation, and the situation passes. That's an experience that a large number of yogis have had. Second is, of course, you would have heard about the word full stop. Full stop to the past, full stop to my negative thoughts, and full stop to all that has happened. Because each moment is a new moment. It's only our mind which creates one to another to another. But actually each moment and each thought is different. Every night we die as far as our thoughts are concerned. We have the choice of connecting with the previous evening and become disturbed about it, or we treat that moment as something totally afresh. And over there, and whatever I'm saying is actually the knowledge of Rajoga. Becoming a trustee, which means whatever is happening, I'm there for a short time to carry it forward. And if I do that, then I don't carry the burden on my shoulders. I allow that to be something that I am an instrument of, but not something that I need to carry as a burden. And of course, one of the things that makes you all light here is of course a lot of good food, a lot of fresh air, a lot of love and warmth, but also, because for some time, you don't carry the burdens that you would in your life back home. Unless we are mulling over it in our own mind. And One of the very important components of this is what we call as SOS, which is stand back, observe, and then steer. SOS also is used as save our souls, which used to be a signal sent from the ships which were in distress in the previous times, about 50 years back, even now. But for us, this ship, if we can learn when in difficult situation to step back and observe like a third person, see what the choices are, and then steer it towards what is most appropriate. And after some time, this becomes a part of our thinking. You know, each one of us, when we think, we create a pattern in the brain. And the pattern starts with a thought. Actually, if we were to, in silence, observe our thoughts, the thoughts slow down. And when the thoughts slow down, then you are able to look at them better as if on a screen of television or a movie. And if we can then choose what I want to think or what I don't want to think and reject, then it has a corresponding emotion. And if my thought is something that is useful, then the emotion that will come will also be positive. And then the action that I will take me towards a path which is comfortable for me and gives me a purpose in life. And once that happens, the thought, emotion, action, it forms a memory and the circle is completed. And more the number of such circles, then it becomes a habit pattern. And if I keep repeating it again and again, then it becomes a part of my personality, or what we call as sanskaras. So if I can just learn to step back, observe, and then steer, become a trustee, go up from whatever is happening below, and not get connected with it, and learning to put a full stop. Everybody here uses computers? Some of us? Okay, writing? Try this experiment today. Take away all the full stops from a page on your computer. And then take away all the commas. And then take away all the spaces. Will it make sense? Nothing. It'll be garbled. And that's what happens in our mind. One thought after another just keeps getting repeated on and on and on. So meditation is the way of putting a full stop, stepping back, allowing things to pass, and creating a new pattern in your mind to be able to change the past. And once you do that in your mind, then the future becomes different. Just 30 minutes of meditation over a period of about 3 months has been found to reduce the heart rate, reduce the blood pressure, reduce the sugar levels, improve your sleep. Yes, it has been documented. And suppose you were in meditation the whole day, what we call as a meditative lifestyle. Because one of the things that start here is to meditate with the eyes open. Which means you are in that state of meditative being all the time. All the activities that we are doing it with those principles. If we are able to do that, the life can change permanently. So welcome to a changed life. Welcome to your personal transformation. I know all of you are doing it. I'm not going further because we know we have limited time and Dadi is coming. And we would like to interact with you. Because, you know, frankly, when we started, me and Sujata started the same year, she saw some of the changes that came in me. We live in the same house, we are a couple. So she saw some of the changes that came in me, and people around me started saying Avdesh has changed in a kind of a nice way. And then we both started the journey together, and it's been wonderful. But initially we had a lot of questions. And I'm sure all of you, depending on how far you are into it, would have questions. It's natural. It's not easy to let go of a certain pattern of thinking. So we'll be happy to interact if there are any such things. We are traveling back today evening, so we may not be able to do that tomorrow or any other day, but we'll be happy to take that. Last thing. What we are all realizing, especially in the field of health, is that the number of health professionals, and especially mental health professionals, with the rising trends, will never be enough to help others. So each one will have to be responsible for their own health, especially mental health. Professionals can be there for guidance, or if the problems becomes too high, rest is for all of us to take responsibility. And in many ways, a meditative lifestyle like Raj Yoga is the cheapest, is the most doable, and once you get the hang of it, one of the easiest way to live your life. So welcome to your journey. And it's so beautiful to see so many people from so many countries making the effort for that self-transformation. That's something that inspires us always. That each person spends so much time, energy, money to connect with themselves and to bring about that change. So congratulations on your journey and welcome to the journey. Thank you very much.
Om Shanti and good evening. It's great to be here. It's almost like just before leaving and you have a nice, beautiful, pleasant experience of sharing with a community of Brahmins from across the world. And I think it's very fortunate for us to have this opportunity to interact with you all. So I thought I will focus a little on how, I mean, here all of you are in a way a teacher, right? Apart from the actual designated teachers, I think every one of us is a teacher of Gyan and would like to spread the message of Baba and the Gyan to people whomever we connect with. And in that context, I'd just like to share how I use Gyan in my practice of psychology or clinical psychology. I suppose practicing clinical psychology and integrating Gyan in India is a little more easier, less challenging probably than from the Western countries where people don't even talk about spirituality in the clinics. So like Avdesh was saying, that we are deeply involved in this thing of the interface of spirituality and mental health, and now we realize that there is a great need to talk about people's spiritual practices, even when they come to a doctor, a psychologist, a counselor, a helper of some sort, that unless we ask them what are their beliefs and where do they get help from, apart from coming to us as a professional, and how that can be integrated and used along with the psychological or the medical therapies that we are giving to the clients or our patients. And we also realize that it is really the need of the hour. Like, we see there's a degradation and we are going deep into the last stages of Kali Yuga, and a total deterioration of values in society, and there is a lot of chaos and instability, not only outside in the world but also within the minds of people, and obviously the outer reflects the inner and the other way around. So when we are in a position to help, how can we use the gyan? Some of the principles he's already talked about, I would broadly put it as use gyan for one, self-management, because if we are able to be powerful, stable, and fill our our batteries so that we are able to sustain for a long time and be able to help others, that's the way forward. And when I say about self-management, it also means how do we practice our own values and how those values can get reflected in the way we do things, and how we could actually let people who come in contact with us realize that here is a person who has something different to offer just from the very traditional therapy or counseling. And there I feel that our practice or dharanas of, you know, imbibing divine virtues, that we are all purusharthis and we are all effort makers, and I feel that that's a very, very, very powerful way of first imbibing and then giving. Of course, we have wonderful programs like the Vihasa, which I think many would have heard, values in healthcare, a spiritual approach, and many of you may have been even trained as facilitators. And we realize that Vihasa is not only for spiritual, it's not only for medical or those in healthcare. It's need for every individual. And in fact, it should be values in healthcare, values in life, a spiritual approach, Vilasa. That's the term we came out in our own discussions of the facilitators' meetings, that everybody needs this kind of knowledge. And everybody needs to learn values and practice values in their life. So being empowered ourselves is the first step. And to do that, we also need to keep remembering to be in our stage of Swaman. You know, Baba has given us a lot of Swaman, which is... So Swaman, I think... we can say that they are self-belief statements that reflect powerful self-beliefs. Like, you know, I'm a world benefactor, and I'm Master Shaktivan, which is, I'm a powerful soul. So, you know, these kind of Swaman, that if we are able to remember and stay in that stage while we are helping others, we we find that we are doing a much better job. The impact of our counseling is much more impactful on the client who's sitting across us. Many of the times we are not able to really talk about Gyan in the way it is given by Baba, but we of course use it in a lot of indirect ways, and we are able to tell them about letting the past go, so about whatever has happened for the best, and whatever happened is going to happen, is happening now is for the best, and so will it be in the future. And this is something that seems to help a lot of people to let go of their very disturbed past. And many of them come with troubled past, many trauma experiences that they've had from early childhood, and helping them to move beyond that by developing a dispassionate approach, or, you know, like we talked about being an observer, Sakshipan. You be an observer of your own life, of your own past, and not get emotionally entangled in it again. So the Gyan that we have can be used and adapted to make people understand that if you are going to replay your past memories again and again and again, you are creating hard-wired patterns in your brain. So move away from the past. Forgive if you have to forgive. These are all general principles of counseling as well, but the terms and the specific concepts of Baba's Gyan are very useful, like putting the full stop. It's a great idea. I mean, a lot of them suddenly seem to have discovered something so simple and so effective, that how to put a full stop and move beyond. And people ask, how do you put a full stop? So we actually say, just like you write a sentence and you put a full stop, you need to just end a thought, especially a negative thought, because if you don't, it just opens a series of other negative thoughts. And one way is to just put an end to it. And of course, when we talk about being an observer, a lot of also what we call as mindfulness comes into the picture. Being mindful of what you do, be staying in the present. Don't worry about the future, don't worry about the past. So training and teaching them how to be in the present by actually being conscious and being alert to what is happening, what are their feelings, and that it is transient, it is passing, and it's not going to, it need not worry you for long term in the future if you just let them go. So simple concepts like these. And many times when most therapists advise their clients to, you know, practice positive thinking. And people ask, what do you mean by positive thinking? How do we do positive thinking? And I think here again, Gyan helps us a lot, where we teach, we can teach our clients to reduce the number of thoughts first. We know that most of the time, the thoughts are all wasteful thoughts. They are negative thoughts. They are useless. So teaching them to slow down their thought patterns brings in a certain economy of thoughts. And when they think less, they are thinking more productively. So teaching them to think less, slowing down the mind, meditation of course is a great tool. And once again, most people come with a lot of misconceptions about meditation, and that's because there are literally hundreds of meditation or meditative practices that are practiced around the world. And the most common thing that people think is meditation means emptying your mind, being still, no thoughts, nothing. So I always tell them that will happen only when you die. So forget about emptying out your mind, and focus on how to generate positive thoughts. So giving that direction, the steering of the thoughts, is what Raja Yoga meditation does. And I think it's so beautifully accepted by a lot of people when they understand that you don't have to go into this great stress of keeping your mind empty and still. It's a very liberating feeling for them, because now they know that all you need to do is give your mind positive thoughts, which is what we do. And sometimes, like very anxious, nervous, tense people, just one thought that I ask them to practice every day is just a thought of being a peaceful person. Sometimes I use the word peaceful being, peaceful soul. Maybe they don't accept it immediately, so we go up stages. But just practicing being in a state of peace and feeling peace within, feeling peace around, feeling peace in the environment is again something very beneficial, and they learn to slow down their thoughts, they learn to get over the feelings of restlessness and tension. And you start with about 10 minutes first and then increase the time slowly. So it's very achievable goal for them, and they do enjoy it. And apart from that, thought management and self-management, another important dimension that we can use Gyan for is interpersonal management, where we able to manage relationships beautifully with their knowledge. And of course, again, explaining people that, you know, people are there in your life for a reason. And if you have difficulties with somebody close to you, it could be a parent, it could be your partner, it could be your child, you'll have to still deal with that person. And if you have to do so, then why not do it in a way where you are least affected by it? So again, a sense of learning to be emotionally a bit detached while dealing with people, so that all the emotions of anger and resentment or frustration and disappointment, all those negative emotions don't get churned up. And there the part of playing a role comes in very handy, that people have a role to play, and they have a role to play in your life. And in India, it's very easy to talk about karma and karmic accounts. So people do ask, and it's very easy to take up a conversation around karma. So we always say that, yes, you have a karmic account and you need to settle with that person. So why not do it in a way that is least harmful to you? Which means that you can learn to ignore certain things, you can learn to distance yourself, you can learn to walk out, you can learn to not imbibe and take negativity in. So again, these concepts do help them, and they find a way to manage relationships without all that extremely difficult and sophisticated Western concepts of, you know, dealing with relationships. So sometimes it kind of hit the bullseye straight by these concepts. We see with whom it works, and then we have to take it up gradually. And I think meditation I have mentioned about. With children also, we find that sometimes teaching them simple ways of meditating, with starting with some breathing and then giving them certain positive thoughts, using a lot of imagery along with peace, bliss, happiness, power. So that again, it can work with children as well. I think these are some of the thoughts I wanted to share about how Baba's Gyan has been very helpful personally, of course, for me. As a therapist, where I always recharge my batteries and don't get tired and don't get burnt out, because the support is there. Baba's hand is there on top, so you're able to give your best. Of course, for the clients as well, in whatever way they are able to accept it, And of course I don't do the course or anything. I always send them to the centers. If somebody is interested, we send them to the center to do the course and maybe give them. So we use some blessing cards, slogans. So our clinic, we try to create an atmosphere where the moment they come in, they feel peaceful. And we get a lot of endorsement for that, saying that we do feel very, very different and very peaceful when we come. Some of them like to come and just sit there for some time, much before their appointment time, because they just like to just relax there before they start a session. And in a very incognito way, we try to keep Baba there in what we do. And sometimes more directly, but a lot of times indirectly. So I'll stop here and thank you.
And incidentally, what she spoke about clients, actually our first client is ourselves. Because we all need to deal with ourselves first. And then you feel empowered, and then you can go on and dealing with others. So, we'll be very happy if somebody wants to share briefly or ask something or comment, whatever. That's a very wonderful feeling. Mm-hmm. Everybody is satisfied. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we are waiting. So if you are waiting, don't. But if you feel that yes, there is something that you can take back home, use it on yourself or others around you. Because one of the things which we are all becoming clear is that the world needs a lot of therapists. And to be a good therapist, you have to stay centered. And once you are in that state, you sometimes don't have to say anything. People can imbibe what you are experiencing. I'd like to hear it fully. I've understood a little.
Have you been able to take this message across to psychiatry?
Okay. All right.
You can repeat the question.
Have we been able to take this message to psychiatrists? I'll start from India. About 22 years back, we first time tried to have a symposium on spirituality and mental health with the Indian Psychiatric Society, which is the largest body of psychiatrists in the country, in India. And they said, Avdesh, don't waste your time. Nobody is going to come. Who's interested in spirituality? So I said, okay. And I had a position of power, so I said, give me a chance. So the executive said, okay. But they were smart. They gave me the room which was at the back. They gave me a small room. We had overflowing number of people. Because the reason is that this is something we all practice anyway within ourselves. Even mental health professionals choose a city which has a religious or spiritual significance. And we all in our own lives, whenever faced with a crisis or a difficult situation, tend to go to a source that we believe in. We are also fully aware that at the moment the world is changing, and atheism, which means people who don't believe in belief system of the belief that there is a belief of God. But the fact of the matter is that many of them, if you were to ask them, it's not that they are atheist or agnostic. It's just that they are not sure. So the psychiatrist after that, as I said, that the World Psychiatric Association has a separate section, number one. Number two, the last Congress we had, one of the four main tracks was spirituality. The next conference is going to be in October in Berlin. And we are going to have the third International Mental Health Congress of Spirituality in that place. So that's going to be there. The message is getting across. At this point of time, a lot of work is happening in terms of how we can incorporate it without it being religious and it being secular. But there is a fair amount of work that's going on. And my feeling is that from various sources, various spiritual principles, we will be able to, within the next 2-3 years, come to the core principles that are there in most of the religion or spiritual practices, which would be secular, and maybe we would be able to create a secular meditation, so to say. And incidentally, Raj Yoga, if you were to just practice, does not have religion which is there. In a way, it's a secular practice of living in meditative lifestyle. So that message is going across. But most importantly, the message that goes across is when you change. So a lot of people said, Avdesh, you are not the same. And now if they say that you are not the same, they mean something. And I think that acts as kindling for others.
We've also had two conferences in Mount Abu of the psychiatrists. So that was an achievement of sorts, because the first time it was proposed, they were so worried that the attendance will be so low, because they thought we are tying up with a spiritual organization and a scientific body should not hold its conference in a ashram or a spiritual setup. So that was there, but it was one of the most well attended. It turned out to be one of the most well attended. And some people who choose to stay outside felt very bad that they missed out staying in here in Gyan Sarovar. And that is the impact it had. So I think slowly another one was held later on again.
There is a book which has been written. I was chairing the session, the section on spirituality and psychiatry of Indian Psychiatric Society, probably the only book where an organization which is dealing with spirituality like the Raj Yoga Education Foundation and a professional body like the Indian Psychiatric Society jointly had a book which came out about 7 years back, and we'll be happy to share it with Sister Pratibha, and if somebody wants it, it's an electronic book, free of charge, and there's a whole lot of material on the latest scientific research on spirituality and mental health. So she can share it with others. I'll send you a copy.
Thank you so much for that very informative talk and for sharing all that valuable information with us. I'm sure that there are many who would like to catch up on that information and have it as a resource, and hope that we can meet again in the future.
It'll be a pleasure.
Thank you.